So Indonesia is facing a massive multi-agency political scandal that many Indonesians are describing as their country's Watergate. What's happened is that the country's anti-corruption commission has found itself embroiled in a war with the National Police Force and the prosecution agency that involves wiretaps, disclosures of bribery, a conspiracy which was plotted behind the scenes, which even extended to a plan to murder members of the Anti-Corruption Commission by people in police and prosecution. So far, this has involved a love triangle, the murder of a man's mistress, the collapse of a bank, the resignation of the national head of detectives in Indonesia, of a deputy prosecutor, and it's still rolling. The question is, how far will it go? There were some 270 minutes of wiretaps that were revealed by the Anti-Corruption Commission that were played in the Constitutional Court in Indonesia, which had the entire nation riveted to their screens. And it's still streaming the hearings of this case, and Indonesia is transfixed by the revelations. But amongst the revelations was a claim by members of the police and prosecution that the conspiracy that they were hatching was known to and supported by the president, who they referred to by his initials SBY, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, or by his number plate, RI1, Republic of Indonesia 1. So that doesn't mean that he did know about it, but it's a little bit like America's Watergate scandal, where it was clear in the case of another second-term president recently re-elected, Richard Nixon, just like Yudhoyono, newly into his second and final term, it was clear that people in his government had committed crimes, as now seems to be clear in Indonesia. The question was, how far up did it run? We need to look at a little bit the context. It's particularly important for Yudhoyono because he won a spectacular landslide election in Indonesia's second ever direct presidential elections. These are free, fair and democratic, as have been all Indonesia's elections since the fall of Suharto in 1998. Now, one of the reasons for his success electorally was that he ran on a strong anti-corruption platform, that he would wipe out corruption, he would deal with the so-called legal mafia, corruption of the legal system. He was so committed to this position in his campaigning that he even stood back and allowed his own son's wife's father to be jailed on corruption charges. That's Alia Pohan, a deputy governor of the Reserve Bank of Indonesia, Bank Indonesia. He was prosecuted by the Anti-Corruption Commission and jailed. And that gave huge kudos to Yudhoyono during the lead-up to the legislative and presidential elections. He was so clean, he was so committed to anti-corruption that he would let his son's father-in-law go to jail without lifting a finger. Traditionally in Indonesia, that would never have been the case. Yeah, well, the Australian media, like Australian politics, has been in a feeding frenzy over the asylum seeker issues. But I think Australia needs to realise that the issues that are confronting us are part of an international problem. Countries like Canada have similar, maybe even worse, challenges. But our fixation on the asylum seeker issue is such that we assume that the rest of our region is also equally fixated. In Indonesia, asylum seeker issues, another boat arriving, is not news. And in fact, the issues with the Oceanic Viking and the deal between Australia and Indonesia to deal with the Sri Lankans on board that boat has barely registered in the Indonesian consciousness, and it's certainly, most Indonesians are not even aware of the disputes that have been dominating our question time. They're much more concerned about the question of whether their government will survive and whether its anti-corruption credentials have any meaning at all. I think that we need to understand that within the Southeast Asian context, not everything that happens is about Australia. And that whilst we have the biggest economy in the region, we are not the most important power. Indonesia dominates the region strategically and it has its own concerns. It needs to be understood that this is a multi-agency crisis, but it's also a multi-dimensional crisis. There are several different scandals all rolled into one. It started with the collapse of a major bank in Indonesia, Bank Century, and the Anti-Corruption Commission began investigating whether bribes were offered to government in order to secure a bailout for the bank. And this has raised questions about the Vice President, Budiono, a former deputy governor of the, a former governor of the Reserve Bank, and the Minister for Finance, the very competent Sri Mulyani. In response to that, it appears, we then saw allegations against the Anti-Corruption Commission that relate to a separate issue, which is the Anti-Corruption Commission's treatment of a fugitive businessman known as Angoro. The revelations that started to come out were that two of the deputy commissioners had bribed, had sought bribes from members of Angoro's family in order to lift travel restrictions that he was facing. Now, this is where it seems that there's an attempt by the police and the prosecutors to frame up, because it now seems that those bribes may never have in fact been paid, and it was a setup to implicate these two deputy commissioners known as Bibit and Chandra. When the Anti-Corruption Commission began to raise these issues with the police response from the National Head of Detectives, a man called Susno, was to say, well, if you want to take us on, it'd be like a gecko taking on a crocodile. And a crocodile in Indonesia has implications of rapacious, exploitative behaviour. Now, that image, which was recorded and later distributed widely, has captured the Indonesian consciousness. And so this has now turned into the struggle between a tiny gecko and a massive evil crocodile representing the government, in fact. But it's even more complex than that, because the commissioner, the head of the Anti-Corruption Commission, is now on trial for murder. It's alleged that he murdered the husband of his beautiful mistress, who was his golf caddy. This became even more convoluted when one of the key witnesses against him recanted and said this was part of a conspiracy as well to damage the Anti-Corruption Commission. So we've got three: the bank collapse, the claims that the Anti-Corruption Deputy Commissioner sought bribes, and the murder trial of the head commission. Each day, more of this massive soap opera comes out, and it all plays into this struggle between a tiny, untouchable organisation, the Elliot Ness of Jakarta, against this crocodile. And you can understand that Indonesians are riveted, not just by the politics, but by the sheer glitzy soap opera quality of bribes, of mistresses, of murders and conspiracies. No wonder Indonesians are not really paying much attention to Australia's asylum seeker problems.